Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I don't know how far he had to reach down for you, but he has a long, 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 long way he reached down for me. One of the preachers said last night about God cleansing the unclean. I hope nobody was more unclean than I was, because I was certainly unclean and desperately, desperately needed the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't know it until He made me know it. Once He makes you know that, that's all you do want to know. That's all you do want to know. Let me read chapter 2 and verse 8 down through 13. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtles heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I titled my message this morning, He Has Won Our Hearts. Won Our Hearts. This is called the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. This whole thing is a song. Now, I don't know how I would sing it. I don't know how anybody else would sing it. I don't know what tune we'd use on it, but it's a song. It's the Song of Songs. All the songs have been written. He said, this whole thing is a song. And it's Solomon's. And many find it very mystical or spiritual, and they don't get no help from it. Don't have any interest in it. But what it is, it's a song of love. It's a song, it's a love song. It's a love song. And it's a song of spiritual intimacy between the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Very, very intimate. You read this book and you find some things in it that's just very, very point blank. And there's two leading personalities in this song of love. And they assume the character of the bridegroom and the bride. The bridegroom and the bride. The Lord Jesus Christ and His church. And the language, as you go through this, is very, very intense. It reveals deep, deep, tender feelings. Tender feelings that our Lord Jesus Christ has for His people. Oh, how He loves His people. No one can love like the Lord Jesus Christ can. And He has such tender feelings for His people. And then this bride, she has the same feelings towards Him, though not as deep and not as intense as He has towards them. And the first one to speak in this relationship is the bride herself. And that's in the first four verses of chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, is the first thing she says after she knows him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Kiss the Son. Let him kiss me. Lord, kiss me. Show your love for me. For thy love is better than wine. And then when it says thy love, and in the margin it says thy loves, thy loves, thy loves. And then he said, because of the savor of good ointments. Oh, such a wonderful smell. The sweet savor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the savor of a good ointment. The blood of Christ, what a blessed ointment. the righteousness of Christ, what a blessed ointment. Thy name is ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, Lord, I'll run after you. The king hath brought me into his chambers. He took me into his secret place, brought me into a place to be with him. And we will be glad and rejoice in thee, and we'll remember thy love more than wine. The upright, all that love you, they love you uprightly. And I tell you, as he won this bride's heart, our Lord has won my heart. I hope he's won your heart, and he's conquered it, not just by sheer power. No. He has won my heart, but by his character. What a blessed character our Lord Jesus is. How would we describe him? When you think about describing the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't start describing a person that stands 5'9" or 5'10" and he's got blonde hair and blue eyes. No. When you start thinking about the Lord and going to describe him, you start describing a personality. You start describing a character. Someone that is different, the most glorious, the most blessed, the most precious, the most loving person you could ever imagine. And that's what he is. That's what he is. He got the most blessed eyes that looks at you. I'd love to look back at him the way he looks at me. And I tell you, then he wins you by his love. Oh, he wins you by his love. And by the force of his personality. Oh, and look what it says here. Now, she started out talking about him, and then she continues to talk about him here in verse 8 of chapter 2. Look what she says. The voice of my beloved. I hear a voice. Well, whose voice is it? It's a voice of love, I tell you that. I know that much about it. It's a voice of love. it's a voice of love, a love that manifests itself. Uses these wonderful words, uses these wonderful actions. He comes with these words of grace and kindness and tenderness and calling and then all the actions. Our Lord Jesus Christ, bless his name, he comes and performs actions in this service today. He performed an action when you sang that song today. When my Savior in love come from above and reached down. How far down did he reach? How far down did he reach for you? How far down did he have to go to get you? And oh my, then he comes with these wonderful words. And you know what he said? It's the voice of my beloved. The one that loves me. And look what it says. He comes. He comes. Oh, behold, he cometh. Yeah, I said he comes. You don't just hear his voice. But here he comes. He's coming. Oh, he did come. Oh, he did come. He left the Father's glory, he left the Father's love, he left the joys of heaven, left the worship and adoration of angels, and he came into this world. And behold, he come. And I tell you, he came so far, so high, so glorious, and he came all the way down here. The distance between us and him was so great, so great. We could not possibly go where he was. We could not possibly attain to where he is. So what did he do? He comes. Come to where we are. Come and identified with us. Come and said, oh, listen, I'm going to identify with a bunch of God-hating, Christ-rejecting, Sinners from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. I'm gonna come and identify with them. And oh, he come and he brought that. This is the most wonderful thing. This is what's so blessed about the gospel. God had to have something equal with himself. So what did he do? He sent himself in the person of his blessed son. Amen. And so what happens is, he can reach us, and because he's God, he can reach God, and he can take, because he's man, he can take men, and he can take God and bring them together in his blessed person and make them one. Huh? Now how can he do that? For the multitude, you read it this morning, the multitude that no man can number. I tell you what, it's easy for him. We can't get our mind around it, but he can hold all of us at the same time. And oh my, what a love. What love it was. What love it must have been that he would come and do this. And then look what else it says now. And then he comes with great power. The voice of my beloved, he comes, and then he's leaping. He comes powerfully. He comes with some power. Now, the Lord don't need to be, he using language for us to understand. He don't have to jump over mountains. He owns the mountains. And he can step on mountains. He can step anywhere he wants to step. As long as he comes, and he comes leaping over the mountains. And every mountain, he takes the mountains and brings them down. And he leaps over the mountains and it comes over every mountain that separated him from the ones he loved. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he said they was ridiculing him. The gospel that our Lord preached, whenever you find out what the enemies of Christ said about him, that's the gospel. You say what? You take what they said about him, and it's the gospel. Said he eateth Republican sinners. Take that, and you got the gospel. He does do that, and he said, "I tell you what, you fellas, you don't want. If you had a bunch of sheep and you lost one sheep, what would you do about that sheep? Well, I believe I'd leave all the rest of them and go hunting for that one. Well, sure enough." He said he went looking for that one sheep, and you know where that sheep was? He was lost. And here's the thing about it. He come looking, and he went into the wilderness. He come looking for that sheep, and he looked and looked and looked for that sheep, and when he found it, believe me, there ain't but two kind of sheep in this world. Found sheep and lost sheep. But they're all sheep, and he gonna find this sheep. And he found that sheep, and this is what I love about it. He put it on his shoulder. He didn't say, now follow me out of the wilderness. Follow me across these valleys. Follow me across these mountains. Follow me through the dark. Follow me through these briars. And he didn't say anything like that. He put it on his shoulder and carried it all the way back to the fold. Huh? That's what the shepherd does for his sheep. And oh, he come leaping. And then look what else it says. He said, not only did he leap on the mountains, he skipped on the mountains. He's happy. He's joyful. He's joyful. He's full of joy. You know, he comes skipping, you know. He's happy. He's full of joy. And you know why he's full of joy? He said, for the joy set before him, he despised the shame. But he went to that cross. He said, Father, they're yours. You gave them to me. And I'll go and I'll do what I do. I'll do it with joy in my heart. I'll do it joy in my soul. I'll do it with joy in my actions. I'll do it with joy. I will joyfully lay down my life for them. I delight, O Lord, I delight to do thy will, O Lord, I delight to do. I just love to do your will. What is your will? Go and save my people. Go shed your blood for my people. And he comes with joy. You know, I don't know if I don't know how many of you know me very well, but I'm generally a pretty happy fella. And I feel good almost all the time until I feel bad. But I'll tell you something about feeling bad. And I'll tell you this. I won't tell nobody else but you all. When you're in public, you be full of joy. You be full of grace. You be full of kindness and tenderness. Don't go around with an old sad face. Don't go around, oh boy, life's so tough. Don't do that. When you go on the job, go on there and you just smile and be happy and be joyful and do something, you know, because we got a joyful sound we hear. And God gives us joy in our heart. I'd rather have joy. Everybody wants to be happy. Mom said, oh, I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. Happiness is, who cares how happy anybody is? The thing is, if you got the joy of the Lord, joy, that joy that bubbles up, that joy that makes you happy, that joy that makes you want to rejoice, that joy that makes you want to skip. Huh? You think the Lord skip, he'll get you skipping after a while. I mean, he'll get you skipping. Paul, I'd like to see you skip sometime. I'm going to sneak in up there one of these days, see if you do. But then look what else he says here now. He comes joyfully. Look down verse 9. Look what else he does. My beloved is like a roe, a young hart. And then look what he says. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He stands. Oh, he hears. Then he comes. Then he leaps and he skips. And now he's standing by the wall. He stands behind our walls. And you say, what kind of walls we have? Well, pride's a bad wall. Oh, that's an awful wall. Self-righteousness, that's an awful wall. Self-confident, you know, loving self is an awful wall. And all unbelief's an awful wall. Indifference is an awful wall. Cold-heartedness is an awful wall. Presumptuous, but he stands behind that wall. But you reckon his wall is going to keep him out? Huh? he don't have to step over the wall. He just pushes the wall down, comes on in. And oh, he stands behind our wall. No wall can keep him out. But a wall sometimes will keep him from view. A wall will keep us from seeing him. It won't keep him from seeing us, but it'll keep us from seeing him. And oh, blessed be his name. But here's the thing. He condescends to stand. He condescends to stand. And he stands behind these walls. And then he'll tear them walls down. Oh, God, tear down our wall of self-righteousness. Tear down our wall of unbelief. Tear down every wall that's between me and you. Tear it down. And oh, my. And then look what he stands. And then look what he does again in verse 9. He starts looking. He stands and then he starts looking. He looks. Where's he looking at? In the windows. Looking at us. Oh my, he stands and then all of a sudden he's coming looking at us. Where's he looking? Looking right here. Looking right here. Looking in your mind. Looking in your heart. Looking in your soul. Looks in you into tense. Looks into your motives. He looks into everything. He looks into your heart, your will, your affections, everything about you. He looks into a soul and he sees every need that the soul has. I don't know what your needs are, when they are, but there's not a moment in time that we do not have a need for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he always comes and meets the needs of our needy soul. He says, I see a need right there. I'm going to go take care of that need. I see that cry. I'm going to go take care of that. I see that heartbroken. I'm going to go take care of that. I see that fear. I'm going to go take care of that. I see that worry. I'm going to go take care of that. He looks in. And I tell you, he looks into our hearts. He looks into everything about it. And here's what's so wonderful about it. And I've said this countless times. Lord, look, 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 look. Go ahead and look. Look me over from top to bottom. Look me inside. Look at me outside. And if Christ is not there, Lord, you take everything away that would keep Christ from being everything. Oh, Lord. Ain't you grateful that God sees you and knows you? You know, there ain't no sense putting on no sham. There's no sense putting on what we call the dog down home. There's no sense doing that. There's no sense us being put on or act like we're something we're not, because God knows us just exactly the way we are. And I tell you something else. He knows what we want to be. He knows what we want to be. That's another blessed thing. Not only does he know us, but he knows our desires and what we want to be. What do you want to be? I want to be with him forever. Huh? I want to be like Mary. I want to sit at his feet. I want him as old Maurice Montgomery used to say, he'd take me up in his arms and hold me in his bosom. I'll tell you, we can have such a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that's more intimate than any relationship you can have on this earth. I mean, we can do that. I mean, there's some people that do. He's looking in the window. What does he see? He sees me. Not like I am. Then look what else he says. And then look what he says. Not only does he stand, he came powerfully. Not only does he stand, not only does he look, but then look what he says there in verse 9 again. He shows himself through the ladder. He stood, he looked. Now I'm going to let you see me. That's what it says. Showing himself through, flourishing. Oh, he's looking at us, and now here he comes. He said, I'm going to show you myself. I'm going to let you look at me. Huh? Shows he's flourishing. He's flourishing. Oh, my. What a gracious, gracious lover of our souls to show himself. Oh, you know, in the wealth of his character to his beloved. I noticed something last night when Marvin was preaching. He went over there and showed us in 13 about how wealthy Abraham was. Silver and gold, had all kinds of it. But you know where his wealth really was? When he got over Genesis 15 and God said, I am thy exceeding and great reward. Abraham wanted the reward of God was better than everything else he ever had. Ain't that right? Well, I'll tell you, as you know, Peter and John, we went up to the temple, and there's a man laying there, and he said, wanting some money, begging. You know what Peter told him? He said, I ain't got no money at all. I ain't got none. If I had money, I'd give you some, but I ain't got none. But I tell you what I do have. I've got Christ, and I've got the grace of God, and I've got a message I'll tell you about. And he told him, and that old boy jumped up and went to dancing. And, you know, and then he shows himself. He stood, then he looked, and then he shows himself. That's kind of the way the Lord does it. You know, he comes and reveals himself, makes himself known to us, reveals himself to us. And he don't do it. He does this so many times in our experience, in our spiritual life. He shows himself to us in so many different times, in so many different ways, and so many different experiences that we go through. Then look what else he does now. In verse 10, he stood, he looked, and he showed himself, and then he spake. He said, I got something to say to you. What are you going to say? My beloved spake. Oh, you reckon she recognized that voice? I You know what our Lord said? My sheep hear my voice. My beloved spake. She has no doubt of whose voice it is. She knows his voice when she hears it. What other voice sounds like his? What other voice speaks in such sweetness and kindness and compassion? Speaks in power to the heart and the will. Oh my. That's why our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I know them. You know, Zacchaeus heard his voice. Zacchaeus, little bitty fella, climbed up a tree to see the Lord. Zacchaeus, how'd the Lord know his name? He said, I know. Zacchaeus! I don't believe Zacchaeus said a word. I don't believe he looked down and said a word. He just looked. He was up there to look anyway. That's why he's up there. He's looking. He's wanting to see the Lord. Come down. He got out of that tree. That's kind of like a preacher I heard about one time. He was born to preach his first sermon. The preacher's sitting there, and he's going to get up and preach his first sermon. He said this. He said, and he used Zacchaeus. He said, and the Lord said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, I'm like Zacchaeus. I'm a man of a little stature. I'm like Zacchaeus. I'm up. And I'm like Zacchaeus. I'm down. And I'm going to get down. But that's what the preacher said. He 3 points. He got up, got down. But here's what Zacchaeus heard his voice. And he come down. Oh, my. Lazarus heard his voice. How can a dead man hear the voice of the Son of God? How can a man that's dead and corrupt, how can he hear a voice? It's according to who's speaking. And our Lord Jesus Christ stood outside his tomb and he says, Lazarus! And the scripture said, he that was dead came forth. Oh, my. Paul heard his voice on the Damascus Road. Saul, Saul. I tell you, John the Baptist said, I'm just a voice. But he spake unto me. Hear his voice. Oh, what a blessed voice it is. And then look what else about his voice. His voice is compelling. It tells us to do something. He says there in verse 10 again, rise up, my love, my fair one. And look what he says. Rise up and come away. He always, you know, when he calls us up, he always calls us to himself. Come away to me. Come away with me. He said, come away. Rise up and come away. He always calls us to himself. Let me ask you, because she has said, no, I don't believe I'll go. I don't believe I want to go. I just don't believe I want to go. No, no. Oh, my. He always calls us to him. Could she have refused such a compelling voice? It was the voice of her beloved. And he has come to take her to himself. He says, come away. Come away. You know, when most folks in here, one time or another, has a marriage vow. Make a marriage vow. Marriage vow. And when you make a marriage vow, this is the first thing they ask you. Say, do you take this woman or this husband, this man to be your lawful wedded husband? You take care of her, love her, cherish her, honor her all the days of her life. You say, oh, yes, I will. And from then on, you take her to be your wife or her husband. And you all become, well, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is. He says, you come away to me. I'm going to be married to you. I'm going to take you to myself. And here you are. You come away with me. Could you go with anybody better? Huh? Oh, my. There's a voice. Follow me. And he says, come away. Come away from everything that harms you. Comes away from everything that hinders you. Come away to his way. Come away to what he did. Come away where there's such peace. Come away where there's such power. Come away where there's rest. Come away from yourself. Come away to Christ. Come away. As sinners, we go to Him. We go to Him and keep going. Then look what He says here at verse 11. And then look what this is language that He shows us about our new birth, our new life that He gives us in Christ. As He says, come away. And this language, you know, that He's using here is where winter's past and the spring has come. And he says, the winter's past. The winter's past. Oh, the springtime has come. New life in Christ. The Son of Righteousness has arisen over our old, cold, cold, dark souls. And all the blessings of a new life comes from Him. And here's the gospel. Listen to this. He says, the winter is past. In the winter, everything's dead, lifeless, lifeless, dark. The winter's death. It is past. Death is past. He's made us new creatures in Christ. He quickened us from the death of our sins, brought us to Himself. We know people that's alive die, go from life to death. But what God does for us, we go from death to life, just the opposite. And He brings us from death to life. And He brings us into this warmth of grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives us this new life, this new creation. And if the winter's gone, here comes the spring. Listen to what He says now. Next thing. And the rain's over. The rain stopped. You know, when you talk about rain in the Scriptures, it means judgment. God said, I'll hold the rain. I'll hold the rain. And you know, the rain of judgment's over and gone. It's like Noah. Noah was in that ark. It rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. And then when the flood was gone, Noah stepped out into a new world. And when God saved us, we brought us into a new world. I never knew a world like this existed, did you? I never knew a world like the spiritual life we have in Christ existed until I experienced it myself. And you know how our Lord stopped the judgment? He bore it Himself on the cross. Our Lord, by His death on the cross, He brings us into this newness of life. And I believe this with all my heart, that when God saves a man, when God actually saves a man and does a miracle in his life, regenerates him, gives him the new birth, what He does is He brings into existence a person who never existed before. You never had a problem with sin until God gave you life. You didn't understand one word of the Bible until God gave you life. You couldn't see Christ. You couldn't see the Bible. You couldn't see nothing. You couldn't see your sin. You couldn't see righteousness. You couldn't see nothing until God gave you life. And when He gave you a new life, He created a new man in you. And that new man is the person we have fellowship with God in. This flesh don't fellowship with God. This flesh gets tired and weary and sleepy and discouraged and depressed. But I tell you what, this new man in here, he's always happy. He's always joyful. He's always looking. If you got a new man in you, you know what that new man in you is doing right now? Listen to what I got to say. And you say, well, if that's so, yeah, that's right. You know who that is responding to that? That's that new man. That old man ain't responding at all. That new man is. That old man says, would you leave me alone so I can listen? Does that ever happen to you? Oh, my. And then, oh, look what else it says. Then it comes down to the flowers. The flowers. He says, the flowers appear on the earth. You know, when we flowers, the first thing it comes in the spring, you know, the first thing flowers that bloom in the spring is what we call Easter flowers. Everybody calls them Easter flowers. Daffodils. You know, them little yellow flowers that come up and snow will get on them. That's the first thing comes up is them. And that's what happens to us. That's the promise of spring, promise of life. And when these flowers come, we have the promise. God gave us promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what promises we have. That flower starts coming. As flower starts blooming and life comes, starts coming back to life. And because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, by His blessed, glorious life, by His blessed, blessed death on a cross bearing our sin, by His resurrection, and by Him ascending back to glory. And now I tell you all the promises of God. Do you know what they appear like? Beautiful, beautiful flowers. Beautiful, beautiful flowers. Huh? Beautiful flowers. Beautiful flowers. Oh, what promises. What promises God's give us in His Word. And then look what else happened here now. Then look what it says, the singing, the time of singing has come. Oh, the time of singing has come. We sang a new song. We sang a new song. I preached last Sunday morning on the 98th Psalm, and it was seven notes in the new song. There's seven notes, and I had seven notes in that song I sung last week. Best song I ever sung. It's a good song. It's a good song. It's a scriptural song. And I can't sing, but this here I sing. But all the time of singing has come. He has picked me up out of a horrible pit and established my going, set my feet on a rock. And you know what it says? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh, time of singing. We sang a new song, blessed song, glorious song. Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Then look what else it says here now in verse 12. The voice of the turtle is heard in the land. Now, when he's talking about the turtle, he's talking about the turtle dove. Talking about the turtle dove. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about turtles. He's talking about the turtle dove. The dove. Beautiful thing. Beautiful birds. Oh, one of the most beautiful, wonderful birds. And everything in the scriptures about a dove always has to do with our Lord in peace. And you know, when our Lord was baptized, the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove and lit upon him. And you know, when you know what left Noah's ark and came back with a sprig, it was a dove. A dove, he sent a dove, a clean bird out. He come back, and here he was. Oh, the voice of the turtle dove. And you know, we hear the gospel. We hear the gospel, and it's a voice, blessed voice. You know, and we hear it in our hearts. The Holy Spirit's our guide, our comforter. And he's heard in the land. Oh, heard in the land. And let me tell you what, look what else happens here. I don't want to take too long. I really don't. Just look what it says here in verse 13. It's a season of fruitfulness after he brings us away and springs come. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Oh my, and what else it says? And the vines, they got the tender grape on and got a good smell. Fruitfulness, the fig tree ripens. And the vines are in blossom. That's one thing that God does for us. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. There's no law against that. And I tell you what, that the figs give off such a wonderful smell. And our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. And so the only fruit we have is what He Himself gives us and works in us. And then look what he says again in verse 13. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. He repeats his call. He comes to our hearts and he wins our hearts. And he said, come away. Come away from your fears. Come away from your disillusions. Come away from yourself. Come away from your reasonings. Come away from the promises you make yourself that you know you ain't going to keep. Come away, come away, my love, my fair one. And you know, come. Come and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into the joy of the Lord. Enjoy the promises of God. It's like Rebecca. Like Rebecca. When Eliezer went down there and he took some silver and he took some gold and he took all those garments and showed them to them. And they said, now listen, I got to go. I got to go back. Got to go back to my master's house. And they asked Rebecca, you going to go? After she saw all that wealth. And that, you know who the wealthiest person in the universe is? God Himself. When you got Him, you got all the riches it could possibly have. You know, this earth is His and everything in it. But Rebecca said, oh, listen, don't go. Honey, stay with us just a little while longer. Mm-mm. It's like Zacchaeus up that tree. When Zacchaeus was told to come down, he come down. And when they said, Rebecca, will you go with this man? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you done showed me. You done told me. You done showed me. And I tell you what, when you see Christ, how many of you? I heard Scott Richardson preach one time. And I'll quit. Listen. Scott Richardson preached one time at our place in that old building we had, old block building. He preached on the ark. Preached on the ark and that one door into that ark. And I wanted so bad, I wanted to get up right there then. And I saw that door. I wanted to get up and go get in that door and get in that ark. That's how vivid he made it to me. I wanted to get in that ark. And Lord, you told me to come away. Here I come. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. Huh? Will you come too? Will you come with me? Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.